This is Emily Wright, tech editor and head of special projects at EG, and it's week five and we're still here. So welcome back to this weekly podcast. We're back on a Friday. We managed to squeeze the Easter episode in just in the nick of time. I hope everybody had a lovely Easter. And we're back this week with We're Still Here regular, Pui Guan Man. So thank you for joining us. But we've also got a debut from Louise Dransfield, our London editor. So let's start with you, Louise. This is your first We're Still Here podcast. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, Emily. Navigating the usual Wi-Fi and tech issues that everyone is experiencing at the moment, I suppose.
And so whenever we've had new members of the team on the podcast, we've sort of caught up with them on how they're getting on with the lockdown and working from home. And it's interesting because every time we have somebody making their debut, we're sort of a week further in and everything's kind of shifted and changed. And I suppose we're moving into a bit of a phase now where people are starting to get their heads around it. But how have you found it over the last few weeks? And I know that you've come back to London, haven't you? So you're back in London.
I'm back in London for the moment, just checking on my flat. The first week I found quite stressful because it was trying to get everything to work and sync everything up and get into a routine. I definitely have found it easier over the last couple of weeks, although it's possibly the nature of the news has changed in London. And it's also quite good because at least in London, there's no big queues for the supermarkets and they're all fairly well stocked at the moment compared to in Kent.
Well, that's a plus.
Yeah. And people around now.
And Pui, how are you getting on with lockdown? We've had you on the podcast twice previously. So we had you on the first week when it was all a bit new. And then we had you one a couple of weeks ago as well. So how are things now that we are sort of coming into a bit of a different phase?
I just can't stay away, Emily. Just keep coming back for more.
Delighted to hear it.
I don't know. Coming to the end of this week, I'm finding there's a lot of ups and downs, really, more so than before. And I mean, emotionally, you know, one day I'll just be like, you know, this is totally fine. I can live without going outside for the foreseeable. This is all good. But then, you know, the next day I'll just be having a massive strop, you know, climbing the walls with boredom or, you know, freaking out over the latest sort of statistics in my borough. So it weirdly, like, it feels a bit more extreme than before. I don't know if anyone else is sort of getting this as well. But, you know, I guess it's just about learning to take each day as it comes. But yeah, it's a bit weird. Don't really know why.
I completely agree with you. I've found that it has got easier in one sense, but when it gets harder it's much harder. So yeah, the extremes are something I'm definitely recognizing, and the day-to-day of one day feeling absolutely fine and the next day just, you know, thinking, oh, how can this continue? And you know, it's just a very I found as well, you know, watching it, because obviously everyone's watching a lot of Netflix at the moment, I imagine, but sort of watching Netflix and or films and thinking that everybody that you're watching on the TV, who's, you know, who've been filming all of these TV shows and films, you know, everybody, all of them are in the same boat. And when you start thinking a bit like that, it's just such a huge thing to get your head around.
It's just mad, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, like, and also every time you watch these shows, because they've obviously been filmed beforehand, you just can't help but think they're not social distancing. You know, they're not doing that. So it is weird.
Yeah, watching people sort of congregate in pubs and bars and coffee shops and thinking, God, remember them when we used to be able to do that? Yeah. It is very, very strange. And I know, so Louise, you've become a sort of a celebrity this week in the office because you did a hike both each way into the heart of central London yesterday. You were on a bit of a mission, but as you were doing it, obviously, you got a real insight into how the city is looking at the moment. So could you tell us what it was like and what you noticed on your epic adventure?
Yes, we'll stress it was part of my one allowed walk for the day. Yeah, I mean, it's not as busy as obviously you would as it usually is. But there are a lot of people out and about. It helped, obviously, it's sun was shining yesterday, so that helped. There's a lot of runners who are enjoying free empty pavements at the moment. There's still quite a lot of traffic around, which is interesting. A lot of, and then in the city as you, and in Knightsbridge, there's still quite a lot of construction sites in operation. So yeah, I don't think construction's ground to a halt. And I think there's news that 22 Bishopsgate multiplex will be getting back on there next week. The only thing I would say is that it looks a little desolate, you know, along the shop fronts, because a lot of the shops have removed all their stock. And so there's lots of naked dummies and empty shelving. So it looks like everyone's, you know, really disappeared. Also, I was surprised by the lack of queues outside of the supermarkets in London, but I suppose that's just because in some parts there just isn't the kind of residential population to support that. But other than that, everyone seemed quite happy. I suppose people were out exercising. No one was particularly sitting and hanging around in the parks. But yeah, it was interesting to see how much activity was still kind of happening. Or there's a lot of roadworks going on as well at the moment, and gasworks. So I'm guessing they're taking full advantage of the quieter roads.
Well, it's good to hear that people were looking happy. I think, as I was saying earlier, I don't think this week's going to be any exception. But the We're Still Here podcast has been a very honest and open roundup of the news and trends week in, week out. And there's a lot of tough news out there at the moment, as is only to be expected. So it's nice to hear that, you know, when you were out and about yesterday, there were people sort of smiling and looking happy. Any kind of positive message we can get at the moment, we will take. So thank you very much for that. And we'll come back to you, Louise, in just a minute to talk about the London patch and what's happening and what you're noticing. An interesting piece of information there already about 22 Bishopsgate. So we'll come back to that. But Pui, it's been a big week for you and for the news team. And when it comes to open and honest news, this week's front page, it's quite something, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm afraid to say that there was quite a bit more doom and gloom this week. There was quite an ominous warning from the IMF this week that we could be facing the worst global recession since the Great Depression in the 30s. So we asked industry bigwigs how real estate can weather a potential crisis of this scale. So we got some thoughts from leaders like Chris Grigg at British Land, Nick Leslau from Presbury, Helen Gordon at Grainger, Andrew Jones at London Metric, Johnny Sanderson, you know, just to name a few, based on their experiences as well in the previous financial crisis. And everyone seemed to agree that there was a sliver of a silver lining in that real estate companies appear to be going into this one in much better shape than they had before, you know, back when companies were far too over-leveraged and the credit markets were much, looser. You know, many have been really quick to act this time around by cutting back sort of capex and staff costs. But like previous recessions, you know, this crisis is going to accelerate a lot of trends that were already unfolding, you know, like with non-essential retail and online shopping, for example. And so there's going to be a vast impact on yields. So it goes without saying that, you know, making quick decisions on repositioning existing portfolios to match this will be crucial. And so a lot of figures, you know, weighed in on what companies need to be doing in this time. And, you know, I think the consensus was that companies need to be scenario planning and not just banking on kind of the early V-shaped forecasts that researchers seem to be putting out. So, Chris Grigg also pointed out that breaking models down into four stages can help. So, you know, managing the near term, then managing what the lockdown looks like, and then recovery from the lockdown, and then the longer term conclusion. So taking it in those four steps can kind of help foster the discussion around that and, you know, get everyone talking about the same kind of steps that everyone's working on, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, for those of you that don't already know, Chris is also a keen military historian, you know, because it can reveal a lot about how people act under stress. And sadly, we ran out of room, you know, on the page to add it in. But there was a bit of wisdom from him that I just wanted to quickly mention here. He said, the lesson generals tell themselves that they always tend to forget is don't fight the last war. So in other words, it's really important to think about the differences from the last global financial crisis, as well as the similarities. So in this case, he pointed out that for the first time since the Great Depression, governments around the world are actively trying to slow their economies down, and trying to figure out the consequences for this is really hard. And that is just new territory for absolutely everyone. Everyone's in the same boat, pretty much on this. And sorry, I know I'm going on a bit.
No, not at all. It's very interesting.
Yeah, and I guess leading on from this, it was just one thing that came up again and again was just the need for the industry to rally together. You know, it was highlighted as something really important to bear in mind in these times, even if it means helping out competitors. So there's a lot to take in there, but you know that there are some positives, hopefully, that we can get out of this when we come out of it all.
Well, it sounds like it was a really interesting conversation with all of the people that you guys spoke to, and Chris Grigg with his military history. I mean, that's a great nugget of information.
Yeah.
You know, don't fight the last war, and let's hope that people apply that to their strategies. I'll come back to sort of go into some of that in a bit more detail, actually, because it's very interesting. But Louise, I mean, sort of London trends aside, and let's talk about that in just a second, how do you think the London market is reacting to the predictions and the fears over what might be to come?
Well, obviously, everyone's very concerned. And as you would expect, there's been a lot of things happening within companies at the moment. I suppose this week we've seen British Land and Shaftesbury directors all take pay cuts to help support businesses and companies and create funds to help out. And it's kind of trying to, because it's all kind of an ecosystem, you know, the likes of British Land and Shaftesbury are nothing without their occupiers, and their occupiers need them at the moment. So I think everyone's just trying to do their bit to support the ecosystems. I think views differ as to what this recession could be like. I think it just depends really on how long we're in lockdown for, and everyone is, I think, just very busy, focused on the now and just kind of dealing with the immediate issues, as well as trying to plan ahead a little bit. It'll be interesting to see, I think, for a lot of people, what happens with the moratorium on commercial leases when that ends in July, and whether the government decides to extend that or not to protect businesses further. Mm. Obviously, we've also seen this week that the government has expanded its loan backing for larger businesses. So companies can, with a turnover of over 45 million, can now get loans of up to 25 million, 80% of which will be government backed, and so forth. So that, I think, is going to give a bit of confidence and support, and I expect a lot of companies will be looking into that when it launches next week.
Mm. Interesting stuff. And what about other sort of London news and trends and analysis, or little snippets of information that you've been picking up along the way? You know, we're not all about London, of course, but as you are the London editor, let's make the most of that and find out what's going on in the capital.
Well, I suppose there's been a lot of discussion about the future of the workplace and, you know, how home working will fit into that, because I think most people expect that there'll be a lot more home working going forward. You know, the future of hot desking has come up a couple of times. Obviously, you know, in relation to how companies will manage that going forwards, and obviously the need for keeping areas a lot cleaner than maybe they were previously. I mean, you would have also seen the news about EasyJet, who once they're back up and running again to kind of not have people sitting in the middle seats, and to kind of keep some social distancing, which they think could be and the next kind of phase. So it'd be interesting to see how employers and occupiers and, you know, people assimilate that into the workplace. Mm. So that's quite a big topic at the moment. There are still leasing deals going ahead and discussions ongoing. Obviously, we reported this week on 60 London Wall, which is being developed by LaSalle Investment Management and Citigroup Securities, and that they're in talks with Alliance, Bernstein and Mondrian Investment Partners to about leasing more than 80,000 square foot. So I think where there are lease events, occupiers are still busy doing things, because if you've got a lease event, you will still need office space, and so they're kind of still that's still kind of all going on. Mm-hmm. In terms of the investment markets, they are a lot quieter. There's no denying that. But I mean, as we've seen in this week, you know, Helical have sold 90 Bartholomew to an investor. And so that's happened in the last, you know, couple of weeks. And obviously deals like White City Place are still ongoing. So there's still things happening. It is quieter. What took a long time is obviously now taking a lot longer. There are COVID-19 clauses creeping in, but they're more, I suppose, along the lines of, you know, we'll complete on this when we're out of lockdown. Kind of, they're kind of agreements to complete once this is over. It will be interesting as well to see what happens with the lending market going forwards. But that's probably another discussion for a later date.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we'll have to sort of bookmark that in for another one. I mean, do you have a headline on that, or is that sort of something that you have not sort of delved into yet?
I've not fully delved into it yet, but as with all these things, lenders have funders to service. And obviously, you know, it's that whole ecosystem of obviously landlords need tenants to pay rent so that they can pay their loans, so that, and then, you know, those providing the loans can pay their funders. You know, so when there's a squeeze at one end, it obviously reverberates throughout the whole chain. So yeah, I think it's one to watch, particularly once the moratorium comes to an end.
Thank you very much. So Pui, to sort of finish off, I'm going to have very quickly talk about our Halo section, which went into this week's issue of EG2, the first one. But before I do that, obviously we've talked a bit about our, you know, very sort of stark, but, you know, with a glimmer of hope, sort of main sort of leading story this week, and the thing that obviously everyone's been really focused on working on. Is there anything else this week that you wanted to flag, anything that's sort of come up and you know, worth our listeners being aware of?
I always try and sort of to come to these podcasts, as you know, Emily, with at least one sort of positive takeaway.
Yay.
Yeah. So I guess, again, drawing from our conversation with industry leaders on the recession piece, Helen Gordon at Grainger told us that, you know, out of this current situation, it all looks pretty bleak at the moment, but she expects a lot of imagination and new ideas are kind of come out of this, and that the rebuilding of everything could actually turn out to be an exciting and energetic time for real estate, in her words. And ESG awareness also being on the rise. So all in all, she thinks that we're going to emerge from this all as a better business community, which I thought was just quite a nice sort of sentiment to leave you all with.
That's an excellent sentiment, and I will build on that by saying that in the Halo Effect section of EG, and anyone that doesn't know what that is, we've launched Halo, which is egi.co.uk/Halo, which is a new name for all of our tech and innovation content. So effectively the tech and innovation arm of EG, it's now all in one place. And if you click on the tech tab on the EG website, it takes you straight through to that as well. But we're bringing Halo into print too. So we're taking sort of every month to 6 weeks, we're taking the best of our online tech and innovation content and bringing it into the magazine in a new section called The Halo Effect. This week, it's the first one, and it includes an interview with General Projects founder Jacob Loftus, who I interviewed a few years ago when he set up on his own the week the UK voted to leave the EU. And I met him in a pub to do the interview, and he said, I thought to myself, is this a bad idea? And I realised that maybe it is, but it will all be okay. That's when he left Resolution. And it was all okay. And, you know, he's been doing great things with General Projects. And then I interviewed him again, just as he got planning on Storybox, his 1.5-acre Vauxhall bunker development, which he got planning for 3 weeks before lockdown came into force. So he's no stranger to unfortunate timing, but he too said, you know, that in times of great uncertainty, innovation and creativity will prevail. So fingers crossed, and let's sort of hang on to those snippets of positivity. And do check out the Halo Effect section for that interview and plenty of other news, trends and analysis around tech and innovation, plenty around what's happening at the moment in the current crisis, because technology has really come to the fore, but also some stuff which doesn't relate to it, which might be quite refreshing, including a great piece from our former colleague, Carl Thomas, on what happened to Primal Base. And if you've ever listened to the podcast, The Disappearance of the Crypto Queen, this is the piece for you. It is the Crypto Queen story of the real estate world. So definitely check that out. So another week, we're still here. We're still here with you know, our regular podcast guests such as Pui, and also lovely to have the new members of the team sort of keeping on coming on to the podcast. The whole point of this is for us to let you all out there know that we are still here in our entirety. So we'll continue to bring members of the team on board, and you'll be hearing some familiar voices as well. So we will look forward to talking to you, so to speak, next week.